They each pulled their aprons over their heads and scurried past him, one on either side, while he pretended to grab at them. They joined their older colleague in the door, where they all stood bobbing up and down, bowing to Ryan and Christy.
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Let's get on with this bath.
I think they're still here.
Don't look, lover. Don't even think about looking.
It took them only a few moments to strip out of their trail-dirty clothes. Ryan then unholstered the Sig Sauer and placed it by the side of the big tub. Christy, still wearing her silk bikini panties, put her 640 Smith & Wesson beside it. Ryan swung a long leg over the wooden wall.
Ooh, watch out for splinters, lover.
Hot.
Funny. Yeah, I thought all the steam meant that it was going to be freezing cold.
Yeah. Lot of laughs, Christy.
He slowly lowered himself to sit on the seat that ran just below the surface.
Hey, it's real good.
Christy slipped off her panties and joined him.
Not bad, huh?
Christy nodded, smiling, her vivid red hair slowly uncoiling across her shoulders as she quickly began to relax.
Not bad.
Ryan closed his eye and leaned back against the smooth, polished wood, feeling the tension ease away. It didn't seem as if they were in any danger at the heart of the fortress, as long as they had the protection of Mashashiga. Just as long as his word could be trusted. Where trust was concerned, Ryan's feeling ran with those of the traitor.
Trust is something that you don't ever share with anyone else.
What'd you say, lover?
Oh, nothing. I didn't even realize that I'd spoken out loud. Must be getting ulti sickness.
Want me to scrub your back for you? There's soap on that little shelf at the side.
I guess so. This is nice. Haven't felt as clean as this since I don't remember when.
Christy slid across the tub to get the soap, her superb body glistening like a leaping salmon, agile and muscular. She came back and sat close to him. He closed his eye again, feeling the warm suds scented with musk across his shoulders.
I reckon that I could get to like Japan.
Christy's hands were busily soaping Ryan's chest, then lower across the flat wall of his belly, then lower still.
Hey! I thought you said you were just gonna wash my back.
I didn't know something was gonna come up.
She grasped him tight.
I didn't know it was coming up either.
It's come a long way up, lover. Look. Even come peeking out of the water.
He reached out with his right hand and caressed her breasts, finger and thumb sliding from the slippery, peaked nipples.
Nice.
Christy's right hand was working on him, just below the surface.
Seems a shame to waste this. I wish it had a lock on it.
Who needs a lock?
Afterward, Christy and Ryan lounged in the guest bedroom.
Where exactly are we in the fortress? We went up and down so many stairs and passages that even my sense of direction got messed up.
I think we're somewhere close to the back wall. If there was a window in that wall there, I reckon we might find ourselves looking out over the moat.
This is one of the strongest vills we've ever seen. I feel fairly safe for once.
Not all that safe when there's Takai Yashimoto breathing fire and vengeance all over the place. Put us all to the sword if it wasn't for Mashashiga.
At least I can't see him being toppled.
I'm not so sure. He could resist an army, unless they got heavy armor and grens. But he's got so many soldiers and servants, it must be impossible to keep track of who they are. If I wanted to get at him, chill him, that's the way I'd do it. A small number of determined men.
You know best, lover. How long do you want to stay here? A couple of days?
Not too long. You don't share a house with an enemy. But I find it all fascinating. All apart from the nasty pollution of the air. Makes my eyes smart and my throat hurt. I guess the slant eyes are used to it.
Well, don't let Mildred hear you use that expression. It's not what she calls politically correct, is it?
They insult us. Fireblast, why shouldn't I insult them a little?
Is there any drinking water around, lover?
Probably poisoned with mercury, or comes from some raving rad hotspot.
Ryan got up and looked around the room, but there was nothing to drink.
Could you go and try and get us some?
Sure. Just strap on the blaster and the panga, and I'm off and running.
You need them?
Yeah. The time you think you feel safest is the time of most danger.
Another traitorism?
No. Orionism. But I'm sure the traitor would have agreed with it.
With the reassuring weight of his two weapons on his hips, Ryan peered out into the corridor. A series of small pottery oil lamps burned brightly at intervals along the passage. He was a little surprised to find that there were no servants in sight. The Palace of Mashashiga was so overpopulated that it seemed odd to find a section deserted. The short hairs began to prickle at the back of Ryan's neck, and his hand fell to the butt of his automatic. There was something wrong.
Stay here and get hold of your blaster. Try and warn the others.
What is it?
I don't know. Just a bad feeling. Wait here.
The Sig Sauer was in his hand, probing at the air in front of him like the tongue of a viper. Ryan's forehead wrinkled as he tried to separate the alien mix of smells. The bitter, acrid flavor of the industrial pollution, the scent of flowers, and the musk of the oils from the hot bath. But there was something else as well. It was a smell that few of the soft and effete people who lived in pre-dark days would have recognized. Fresh spilled human blood. Ryan considered going back for JB, Jack, and the others, but he was there outside the rooms, on his own. The taste of blood, hot and salty on his tongue, grew stronger as he moved a few steps toward the main part of the house. He paused at the corner and squinted around it. Every nerve, combat ready. Every fighting reflex on the hollow ground razor's edge. Two bodies lay sprawled in the casual untidiness that screamed of death. Both of them were women, lying huddled together, both on their backs, the cotton shifts ridden up over their knees, showing the neat little clogs on their feet. Both had their throats slit from ear to ear, savage cuts that had almost decapitated the servants, exposing the whiteness of splintered spinal bone. The blood was still oozing, not yet congealing, the surest sign that the murders had taken place within the past 2 or 3 minutes. The butcher was close by. Ryan stepped around the corpses, careful to avoid the spreading lake of crimson. He paused to look and listen. He was almost certain that there were outside killers in the fortress. A dead manservant lay half in a doorway, a little farther around the next section of the passage. His fists clenched, as though the moment of death had caught him in helpless anger. His red and white cotton uniform was so sodden with blood that Ryan couldn't see at first how the man had died. Then he saw that the material was torn across the chest. Ryan stooped to inspect the body. There was a similar cut below the left shoulder blade, slightly wider. It was the entrance wound of a long-edged weapon, most likely a samurai sword. The man's narrow eyes were open wide, as though his passing had been a matter of considerable surprise to him. Whoever was doing the killing was good at his trade, or their trade, if there were more than one of them. Somehow, Ryan had the feel of a lone assassin, a single solitary figure creeping about in the dark recesses of the fortress, perhaps wearing samurai armor, so that anyone hapless enough to meet him would take him, for those vital, fatal seconds, for a member of Mashashiga's retinue. The fourth body was a child, no more than 8 years old, his little body thrown into a corner, also run clean through with a sword. Blood still flowed, and Ryan knew that he was closing with the killer. The walls on either side of him were oiled silken paper, hung on bamboo slats. Suddenly, a sword sliced through the paper wall, striking the gun and knocking it to the ground. A man walked through the flimsy wall panel, following the lead of his long blade, emerging in a crouch just ahead of Ryan. He was short and stocky, and dressed entirely in black. A round skullcap of metal protected his head, with cheek plates on either side. A loose scarf of black silk was wrapped around his face, revealing only the eyes, which were dark, glittering, and totally blank. They stared fixedly at Ryan. The man wore some kind of light body armor below a shirt of black satin, the metal gleaming in the glow of the oil lamps. He held the sword pointed downward and stood stock still, watching the white man. Ryan guessed that the assassin hadn't expected to find an Occidental in the fortress and was trying to work out how best to cope with the discovery. But there was the remote possibility that this man was a follower of Tokai Yashimoto and had been sent by the vengeful samurai to murder his enemies. For a few moments, the two men stood frozen, a dozen feet apart. Ryan had been working the fingers of his right hand, removing the stiffness caused by the blow to the Sig Sauer, which now lay in the corner of the passage, way beyond his reach.
My fight is not with you, Gaijin. Still time to go back your room. Close eyes and memory, not your fight.
Man nearly takes my arm off, turns it into my fight. Man who slaughters unarmed women and children turns it into my fight.
Ryan held out his punga,